Okay, just explain this term, economic hitmen, EHM, as you call it.
Well, basically, what we were trained to do and what our job is to do is to build up the American empire, to create situations where as many resources as possible flow into this country, to our corporations and our government. And in fact, we've been very successful. We've built the largest empire in the history of the world. It's been done over the last 50 years since World War II. With very little military might, actually. It's only in rare instances like Iraq where the military comes in as a last resort. This empire, unlike any other in the history of the world, has been built primarily through economic manipulation, through cheating, through fraud, through seducing people into our way of life, through the economic hitmen. I was very much a part of that. Well, I was initially recruited while I was in business school back in the late 60s by the National Security Agency, the nation's largest and least understood spy organization. But ultimately, I worked for private corporations. The first real economic hitman was back in the early 1950s, Kermit Roosevelt, the grandson of Teddy, who overthrew the government of Iran, a democratically elected government, Mossadegh's government, who was the Times Magazine Person of the Year. And he was so successful at doing this without any bloodshed, well, there was a little bloodshed, but no military intervention, just spending millions of dollars, and replaced Mossadegh with the Shah of Iran. That at that point, we understood that this idea of economic hitmen was an extremely good one. We didn't have to worry about the threat of war with Russia when we did it this way. The problem with that was that Roosevelt was a CIA agent. He was a government employee. Had he been caught, we would have been in a lot of trouble. It would have been very embarrassing. So at that point, the decision was made to use organizations like the CIA and the NSA to recruit potential economic hitmen like me, and then to send us to work for private consulting companies, engineering firms, construction companies, so that if we were caught, there would be no connection with the government. Well, the company I worked for was a company named Charles T. Maine in Boston, Massachusetts. We were about 2,000 employees, and I became its chief economist. I ended up having 50 people working for me. But my real job was deal-making. It was giving loans to other countries, huge loans, much bigger than they could possibly repay. And one of the conditions of the loan, let's say a $1 billion loan to a country like Indonesia or Ecuador, and this country would then have to give 90% of that loan back to a U.S. company or U.S. companies to build the infrastructure, a Halliburton or a Bechtel. These were big ones. And those companies would then go in and build an electrical system or ports or highways. And these would basically serve just a few of the very wealthiest families in those countries. The poor people in those countries would be stuck ultimately with this amazing debt that they couldn't possibly repay. A country today like Ecuador owes over 50% of its national budget just to pay down its debt. And it really can't do it. So we literally have them over a barrel. So when we want more oil, we go to Ecuador and say, look, you're not able to repay your debts, therefore give our oil companies your Amazon rainforests, which are filled with oil. And today we're going in and destroying Amazonian rainforests, forcing Ecuador to give them to us because they've accumulated all this debt. So we make this big loan. Most of it comes back to the United States. The country's left with the debt, plus lots of interest, and they basically become our servants, our slaves. It's an empire. There's no two ways about it. It's a huge empire. It's been extremely successful.